Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Reno, baby!
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise, live here on a Monday morning. We'll get back to all things college from the weekend with the Vols, with Vandy, everything in the SEC in just a little bit. But right now, we welcome in our man Corey Curtis, joins us every Monday at 7 o'clock from News 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey, happy Monday. How are you feeling today?
Well, not as good as you. I saw your numbers yesterday, and either you're having a great day or your wife's having a really good day.
Yes, or both.
Is this a gambling? Is that a gambling reference?
Could be.
It could be.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be. So let me ask you this, Corey. After 3 or 4 days to kind of let this digest and, you know, really soak in what we witnessed Thursday night, are you of the belief that this Tennessee Titans team is in trouble, maybe underachieving, or are we overreacting because this is such a week-to-week league?
I think we're overreacting some, but, I mean, they are underachieving, but this is who they are. This is who they were last year. You know, one week they're good, and the next week they're not so good. You know, they don't have the explosive difference makers on either side of the ball that seem to be able to correct when they're not spot on. I mean, we always talk about the New England Patriots, and, you know, they don't beat themselves. And when the Titans do things to beat themselves, they're not good enough to really kind of to get past it. So, you know, until they do things to correct that, you know, that's just going to be the way it is.
And this is what, you know, we've been screaming even during training camp when, you know, people were gushing over Corey Davis and all this other stuff. It's like, listen, pump your brakes. I mean, it's preseason. It's training camp. You know, things happen. It happened to him last year where we, you know, the secondary is playing great in preseason. Malcolm Butler was wonderful. And then he goes into a slump. Now, he fought himself out of it, and I commend him for that. But he went into a slump. And looking
at two touchdowns Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly. But looking at this team, defensively, I think they're okay, Corey. I think they, you know, I think they're fine. It's the offense, and this offense hasn't been consistent for 4 years, probably longer than that. And I don't know what it is that they can possibly do to get this offense to be in a consistent, productive team.
It's an easy answer. Block.
Yeah.
Run the football.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But are they – we think Arthur Smith is patient enough to do that. But will he?
Well, I mean, when you fall behind 14-0, it's
hard.
Difficult. Mm-hmm. But also – I mean, you know, so this offensive line has kind of got to have the lead at this point. But, you know, we keep thinking when offensive line, when they get Taylor Lewan back, they're going to be better. But they gave up like 45 sacks last year with Taylor Lewan. You know, so that's why I start asking the question about, you know, Keith Carter, the offensive line coach. Is that part of the issue? And I'm not smart enough to know, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know enough of what goes into that. I don't know enough of what goes into his daily teaching. I don't know. I just know from year to year with the same personnel, and I'm talking about from Russ Grimm's last year to last year, there was a dramatic drop-off in their ability to protect the passer. And that has not corrected itself at all this year. In fact, it's worse with personnel, some personnel that's supposed to be better, you know, and also the right guard situation, you know, is worse because they haven't adequately been able to replace the guy that they jettisoned, you know, whether it be because of injury or whatever. But if they can run the football, they're going to be okay. I go back to 2000 and what year is it? Gosh, so 2016 when they got DeMarco Murray,
mm-hmm.
and he was the AFC rushing champion. They had an 8-week stretch where they averaged 33 points a game offensively. You know, that's not coincidence. When you can play action and, you know, even on two-man routes and three-man routes, open things up, when you can run the ball consistently and hang, what was it, 45 or 52 points on the Green Bay Packers, you know, it's because you can do those things and you can protect the quarterback. You know, and look, Mariota's got to play better. But he doesn't trust his offensive line right now. That's obvious. I watched Baker Mayfield last night. Does he look like a guy who trusts his offensive line? No. Mm-hmm. He's leaving the pocket before it completely breaks down because he doesn't trust the guys that are in front of him. You know, every quarterback in this league, when the Patriots left town last year, was there anybody who thought they were winning the Super Bowl? No, because Brady wasn't very good. He got hit, and his weapons didn't look very explosive. But they've got one of the best offensive line coaches in the game. They got things fixed, and they won the Super Bowl. So I know this is a really long answer, but it's a game won in the trenches, and right now the Titans' trenches are not very good. You know, like I said, Mariota needs to play better too, but the two things are really linked, and, you know, those have got to happen.
Hey, Corey, how do you approach, because even within that answer, you talk about how you, like, well, we saw one thing against the Packers, and then there was another thing that happened that year. We saw one thing against the Patriots, and different, you know, the Titans go on to miss the playoffs, the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know, right now, Buffalo, Detroit, and San Francisco haven't lost yet. The Colts are atop the division. You know, like, at what point do we still have to just look at a 1-2 start and say it's still just a 1-2 start, that we can't overreact, that Taylor Lewan is coming back? He's not going to fix everything, but he is a good player. How much of this needs to be sort of like, all right, let's pump the brakes. It's a long season. NFL teams are not the same at week 16 that they are in week 4.
Well, that's the hope. I mean, you're not supposed to be at your best in September. You're supposed to be at your best in December, in January. And that's, you know, what this team needs to do. And yet nobody likes to lose. And so people are overreacting. And, you know, it's not, what did the Raiders lose yesterday? I mean, was it like 34-14? You know, they're now 34. I mean, you know, I know there's elements of this that looks ugly, but they've been in position to win possibly both of these games. As much as you want to say Thursday night was horrible, you know, there were situations in that game where you're like, well, gosh, they make this play, and they got a chance. I mean, Logan Ryan got called for a big PI. It was a terrible call Thursday night, where if they'd gotten that stop, you're thinking, man, if they can get the ball back and score, you know, all of a sudden this thing is, you know, like a 3-point game, and it's really kind of scary. You know, I mean, not scary, but I mean, they got a chance. So, you know, as bad as some elements have looked, and a lot of that's because the defense has been very solid, they've kept themselves in position to win. So it is very overreactive. That doesn't mean they don't have to get better, because they do, but this is the NFL, and teams can look dramatically different from week to week. We see it, you know, we see it all the time.
Corey, final one for you. The Atlanta Falcons, about a 5-point home favorite this week against the Titans, coming off of a loss at Indianapolis. I know it's only Monday, but early feel, do you think the Titans bounce back this week?
I have a hard time thinking that they will, just because, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, Nate Davis is probably going to get plugged in at right guard. And, you know, are they going to be able to stop Vic Beasley and company? I don't know. You know, that doesn't mean they can't, but, you know, they're in a position right now where, you know, they can't fall behind early, and they're going to have to create some turnovers. That's, you know, we talk about the defense. They've got to create some turnovers. The one good thing is Matt Ryan, for all the numbers he puts up, will turn over the football. And so if this defense can get to him and get him to turn it over, they're going to give themselves and their offense, you know, a better chance in this football game. But, you know, I think right now, you know, what are the Falcons right now? 1-2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're circling the wagons, and they're at home. So it's an awfully big game for them. And we'll see how the Titans respond. But, you know, until I see the offensive line be better, I'm going to have a hard time, you know, being optimistic about a victory.
Corey, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
All right, you guys have a great day.
You got it.
Congratulations.
Well,
Brayton, congratulations on your 3-0 Packers. And let's go Bears tonight.
There you go. Corey Curtis, News 2, every Monday here on Morning Drive. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
What?
Just
I
say it.
To say.
Just say it.
I have nothing to say.
Matt LaFleur, Hall of Famer.
Matt LaFleur is going down.
Canton Bound.
I would like
the next genius.
I would like the record to show that Derek and Nick have said those words and not myself.
He's an offensive genius.
I mean, 20 years from now, we're going to think LaFleur, Lombardi, Lambeau, all in the same sentence.
They might rename the stadium.
Super Bowl champ Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl champ Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl champ Matt LaFleur. Yes.
So it's M's and L's. There you go.
I do think there's a fun conversation to have of when I'm allowed to say that, though. Because I'm not saying it right now because there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Because the Titans.
Maybe after.
The Titans are going to be a lot better than their last two performances, and the Packers are going to be a lot worse than 3-0 because that's the nature of the NFL. But there will come a moment where I get to come on the show and say, see, Matt LaFleur didn't suck, you idiots.
Here's a little trend for you. After losing to the Colts today, or yesterday, the Falcons are now 0-12 against the spread in their last 12 against the AFC.
Isn't that hard to do?
They open as a 5.5-point favorite against the Tennessee Titans. And oh, by the way, I'm just saying, the last time the Titans were a 5.5-point road dog, they beat the brakes off of somebody.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Well, there you go. I guess that bodes well for the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, maybe all their games, they should be a 5.5-point or more.
So I think every fan has sort of like a default setting. So I was watching the Vols with a buddy of mine who's a longtime Vols fan and a buddy of mine. Well, no, he's like, they're down 17-0 at halftime, and he's like, yeah, I'm just not that angry, man. I think we're playing well. I think we're going to be good in the second half.
No, I didn't even think they were playing well, the offensive line anyway.
The point is that there are certain, like, every fan has a default setting, mm-hmm. right? Like, I am a default negative fan, meaning I always expect the worst. I'm just a cynical fan who expects my team to always fail when they're supposed to. It's probably because I'm a Mets fan. I just assume.
Which is weird because on the air, when you're trying to be objective, you're very fair and impartial as far as your analysis. You're not like the negative guy when it comes to breaking down the Titans and the Preds and the Vols.
No, I function better in a situation. And I know this is a long, winding way to get to a point, but it's me. So the point is that I think the Titans function better in the underdog role is my main point.
Yeah,
here.
They do.
And I function better that way as a fan. I prefer my team to not have expectations when they go into a big game because then I can be pleasantly surprised. If you go into a big game, if I'm a Packers fan or a Mets fan or whatever, and my team goes into a game expecting to win, I am nervous. I hate those roles. I'd rather be the 5.5-point underdog where no one's picking my team to win because then I'm excited about the chances of an upset and I'm not as disappointed if they lose. But when the Packers are a home favorite in the playoffs, that's when I'm nervous. That's when I hate being in that situation. And I think every fan has a default setting. Some fans are just the glass is half full all the time. And some fans, the glass is never full, ever, at any point. Like, some of them are doom and gloom, and some of them are positivity. I think the Titans are a roster of players that is at its best when people are doubting them. It's that is when, to me, when they get a little adulation or a little praise, they get a little over their skis. We saw Taylor Lewan do it. We saw Delanie Walker do it. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't play well as the heavy favorite. They do much better when they are facing an uphill battle and no one's picking them to win.
That's all true, and then the reality is they'll never go from good to great then.
Yeah, you
I
got
mean,
a point.
Right. You can't be
because
great
teams play with an expectation and achieve that expectation.
And what do and we good teams do what?
Good teams win, great teams cover.
There you go.
Okay. When we come back, we got to get to Arthur Smith. Stay there. It's Morning Drive. All right, welcome back in Morning Drive live here on a Monday. Nick Braden, D. Mays, and Marquise continuing on a little Titans conversation here. I saw this a couple of days ago. And this really, there's two different things we can get into with Arthur Smith here. Are you guys familiar with Warren Sharp at Sharp Football
yes,
on Twitter?
Yes. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Big data analytics guy. He tweeted this out, and I don't know if he bet on the Titans because he was tweeting very angry things about Arthur Smith, but he said the Titans were down 17-0 with a few minutes to go in the third quarter, ball on the 25. They had 4 first-and-10 plays, and they called 4 first-and-10 runs. 1st and 10, run 0 yards. 1st and 10, run 2 yards. 1st and 10, run 1 yard. 1st and 10, run negative 1 yards. He says this is insanity in the first quarter, let alone down 3 scores late in the third quarter. And then also the usage rate for snaps and percentages of plays. Deion Lewis got more snaps than Derrick Henry. So what do we make of both of these regarding Arthur Smith? Because Arthur Smith feels like he is very predictable.
Yeah, I think the Derrick Henry Deion Lewis. Yeah, Derrick Henry
Lewis.
The Lewis rate, which is how often you use Deion Lewis in a game. It's a new metric I just invented, the Lewis rate. That I think you can attribute to the game situation and them being in the 2-minute offense for basically the last 3 possessions, at least, if not the last 4. So you're going to have Deion Lewis in the game for most of those snaps. So I'm not as concerned about that number. But I do find the 1st and 10 runs to be interesting because we do, as a fan base, cry and scream about wanting to make sure you stick with the run even if it's not working, right, with Derrick Henry. So I don't know what you make of that, Derek. Again, if you still think you're in the football game, you don't want to stray from your original game plan too much. You're not in panic mode yet in the third quarter. In fact, they went right down the field and should have kicked a field goal to make it 14-3, but that's a different discussion. What do you make of the 1st down runs? Because we if he goes away from the run, we yell at him. Mm-hmm. If he runs the ball, we're going to yell at him. So what's the right approach there as far as using Derrick Henry? I don't know what to say.
I mean, that's really the only one of the only positives for this team is they've been able to run the football fairly good. They're averaging over 100 yards per game. They're eighth or ninth in the NFL in rushing yards. Now, some of it has to do with Mariota and Lewis, but I think the bulk of it is Derrick Henry. Let's remember, too, Derrick Henry had 3 runs over 10 yards called back. So just add that to it, too, as well. The whole predictability on 1st down, you're right. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if you go 1st down, you throw a pass, you get behind in the sticks.
Everyone says, why didn't you get the ball to Henry?
You get a ball to Henry and he gets 1 or 2 yards. Why didn't you throw it? So, I mean, Arthur Smith, keep doing what you're doing. That's, you know, because you can't just drop back and try to sling the ball. One, the offensive line is not good.
Two, and it's raining, too.
Exactly. Two, Mariota hasn't proven that the more he throws, the better he gets. That's just not his deal. So you got to use Derrick Henry. Here's where I fought, not Arthur Smith, because, yes, there can be some predictability. But, you know, I was once told, listen, if we run the play the way it's supposed to be ran and execute it the way it's supposed to be executed, we can be predictable, but you got to stop it. You got to stop it. If it's 4th and 1, I can tell you why I'm running the ball. You just got to stop it. It's up to us to get that 1 yard and a half yard. Everybody in the building know we're running the football, but you just got to stop us.
But there's a difference, though. Like, down in distance, I get it. 1st and 10, you want to run Derrick Henry, so be it. But look at the circumstance of the game. 3rd quarter, down 3 scores. And you're giving the ball to Derrick Henry on 1st and 10.
You just can't get into a passing game then.
But you're up against the clock, aren't you?
Yes, not in the third quarter. Yes, you are, but no, you are not. Because football, even though it's the third quarter, it's still a long game. Just think it was, 17-3 or 23 at that point. You score a touchdown, it's 20-10. Well, you're only down 2 scores.
Keep in mind, the 2 touchdowns for Jacksonville had come in the first 7 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point of the third quarter, it was basically 3-0 for 2 full quarters, right? For most of the first quarter, all of the second quarter, and then any of the third quarter, the Titans' defense had clearly shut down Jacksonville. So I guess that's again why I hate going for the field goal or not going for the field goal if I'm Vrabel, because your defense has played so well that all you got to do is inch your way back into the game.
You got to come away with some points.
Just inch your way back into the game and you'd have a chance. And again, had he taken the field goal, they went down the field and scored a touchdown soon thereafter and made it what was it, 17-7.
Yeah.
So had they had a field goal, it would have been 17-10.
But then,
you can inch your way back in when your defense is playing great. If this was a high-scoring LSU-Texas game and it was going to be a touchdown on every possession, mm-hmm. then sure, you got to throw the ball a little bit more. You got to go for it on fourth down. I get that. But your defense had showed that you could inch your way back into the game.
This team is, you know, this team is not a drop-back team and sling it across the yard. They got to rely heavily on the run game, and everything is predicated on that. Play action, whatever they use. They can't just drop back and throw the football. But, you know, the predictability, yes, is there. But, man, listen, you can be predictable and still, you know, get positive yards on run plays, get positive yards on pass plays. Derrick Henry, this is where I fought Derrick Henry, especially in this game, this past game. Derrick Henry, if you catch that screenplay, you might have bumped your head on a goalpost. You, knowing you and the way you run, I don't think anybody from Jacksonville would have tackled you. But you drop a clear, at the least you would have got 20 yards.
Oh, he had the first down easily.
Yeah, at the least you get 20 yards. Stuff like that, you can't. Plays like that, you can't get back. And plays like that derails a drive, and it derailed the Titans' drive. You catch that, you score, I think it's 10-17 or 10-20. It's a whole new ball game now. Yeah. Because, like you said, the defense is playing well, with the exception of giving up early plays, giving up those two early touchdowns. Defense played well. You score that touchdown on that screenplay or get positive yards, 20, 30 yards, now it's a whole new ball game. You don't, we're back behind the sticks, and now we're punting the ball back to Jacksonville. You can't have – you're not good enough. This team is not good enough to have plays like that and let them go.
Well, and the mental side of all of this, because you can look at the Colts game and you can go, man, they were so close to winning that game, that they should have won that game, that they were in control of that game in the third quarter and headed down the field to win the game, and they went to Deion Lewis. That's a usage problem. That's where I look at Arthur Smith and I say, why did you do that? In this game, the Adoree Jackson fumble. Like, if you just give Jacksonville 7 points on the 7 yard line, it's hard to overcome those things. Also, you are not going to go from good to great if you let a singular mistake derail your entire emotional attitude in a game. If an Adoree Jackson fumble with, and I think Darren McFarland was saying this on Friday, if an Adoree Jackson fumble loses you the game in the middle of the first quarter, you're not a great team. You don't have the mental toughness then to withstand adversity, because you're going to face adversity. It's the NFL. Like, it's just the nature of the beast. They have faced adversity against a good Colts team and made mistakes. They faced adversity against a Jags team, and the offensive line couldn't block, and they made mistakes, including the quarterback, including the defense, occasionally, the head coach in particular. For me, it's unforced errors in the last 2 weeks that have sort of been the theme for me. They could have won both of those games. And you know, bad mistakes, mental errors by a couple of players, Derrick Henry drop, Jackson, Vrabel decision, and all of a sudden you're 1-2 and you're at the bottom of the division.
NFL fans, tonight Tullamore Dew is having a Monday Night Football watch party at Neighbors Bar in Germantown. 102.5 The Game's Jared and the GM show will be live on location, and Tullamore Dew and brews are only $6. That's tonight at Neighbors Bar, 313 Jefferson Street in Germantown. Speaking of mistakes, Antonio Brown in the news yet again. That's next on Morning Drive.
Want me to tell you who else should be in the news? And only for good things. And it should be in the news because, man, we need it to be in the news because, you know, we're dealing with some things as we get older. And who I'm talking about here, it should be front page. Cool Springs MD. Men, go see them. Check them out. I've been telling you this for the longest. You know, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, they will get men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, Goodlettsville, any area here in Tennessee, with improving their immune systems, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. And, man, we need to get our energy levels up because, boy, when they're down, everybody in the house feels it, and that shouldn't be the case. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. What are you waiting on, men? look to your right. I know your wife looking at you and she telling you, boy, you need to call Cool Springs MD right now because what you doing, it ain't right. So here's the number. Write it down, men. Stop your car. Write it down. Make an appointment. 615-660. You know those four digits, 6900. 615-660-6900. Or visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
732. Welcome back in Monday edition of Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Good to have you in here. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Wes Rucker will join us. Go Vols 24/7 1 hour from now. Also, former NFL head coach John Fox, now an NFL analyst with ESPN. He'll join us at 9 o'clock to talk all things NFL and all things Titans. And speaking of the NFL, we got to get to Antonio Brown. So Friday, the news comes out, Adam Schefter and others reporting the Patriots cut Antonio Brown and decide to part ways with a troubled wide receiver. So yesterday, I wake up, and I texted you as soon as I saw this. I said, well, you wake up, you check Twitter, and you see Antonio Brown just literally destroying other people on Twitter. I mean, he ripped Robert Kraft for the whole massage parlor thing. He ripped Ben Roethlisberger.
So your former employer.
Correct.
Okay.
He ripped Ben Roethlisberger for the rape allegations from years ago in Pittsburgh. He's ripping Shannon Sharp for what he had to deal with in 2010. For rape allegations, and he's just pretty much basically saying, well, everybody else has their job despite rape allegations and all kinds of other sexual accusations. What about me? I got to think Drew Rosenhaus got to him because I checked his Twitter 2 hours later and the tweets were deleted. But he basically said that I'm done playing with the NFL.
He's not done.
Or the NFL's done with him likelihood.
He's not done. This is, you know, this is the same guy that said he didn't need the NFL. But then, you know, chose to sign with the Oakland Raiders for an extension worth $30 million, guaranteed. You know, these guys, some of these guys think that they are, and this is what I told you, Nick, and I hate saying this about people because I think sometimes we give passes, and I've said this before. I think sometimes we give passes to people that don't deserve the pass just because of the color of their skin. And in this situation, when Antonio Brown was doing all this crazy stuff, people were giving him passes. People were giving him a pass because, oh, he's bucking the system. You know, they don't have a black owner. It's a bunch of, you know, white owners telling this guy what he can and what he can't do. So a lot of people were giving him a pass. And I think a lot of it because of the color of his skin. And I said, listen, if you're going to act an ass, let's call it that way. Call a spade a spade. I couldn't care less. What color you were, or ethnicity, or whatever the case may be. If you're acting that way, then we should be able to call it out and tell you to calm down and go back to being the guy you used to be. We're not telling you to shut up and play football. We're just saying, act like you got some sense and play football. We're not telling you to shut up and play football. Just act like you got some sense and play football. And I said this to you, Nick. I said, I hate when, and I don't claim to be the smartest person in the world because I'm not. My son's damn near smarter than me, and he's only 17 years old. He's a brainiac. My daughter's the same way. But I try to know a lot about a little, just a little. You know, I try to, you know, read and everything else. But I hate when dumb people try to act as if they're smart. It's like, dude, know your lane. Stay in that lane and be cool with it. Don't sit here and try to philosophize and be philosophical and, you know, people think he's so thinking outside of the box. Look at him. He has this orange beard and these braids and look, he's just sitting there and he's just so thoughtful. No, he's a damn dummy.
It's whataboutism is what it is.
Your text to me yesterday was, I hate stupid people that think they're smart. Dude, know who you are and live with it.
Like, exactly. That's just basically what it is. Because when you do that, you expose yourself for who you truly are. And people make excuses for you. And that's what I hate. Like, call a spade a spade.
It's like Hugh Freeze taking to Twitter and saying, all right, NCAA, if you've got any heat on me, if you've got any evidence on me, come after me.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay. Like, we all thought you were cheating, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you asking the NCAA to investigate you? Again, this is whataboutism at its classic finest, and this is unfortunately the way half of this country is run right now. It's, you're doing something wrong, and that person goes, but what about all these other people that are doing something wrong? That's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what happened. Like, Bob Kraft and what he did is a thing that we talk about and we discuss. Mm-hmm. Whatever Shannon Sharpe dealt with, whatever when Big Ben was dealing with that stuff, we talked a lot about what Big Ben was
exactly.
going through. That ain't what's happening right now. What we're talking about is you harassing a witness that is filing a lawsuit against you via text message. We are don't try to point the finger in other directions. Like, you are the one, you are the story, Antonio Brown. So let's deal with what you are doing and what you have done or may or may not have done. Let's talk about what that's doing. Like, again, I will have lots of scathing words for Robert Kraft if he knew a sex trafficker was paying a sex trafficker to whatever he was mm-hmm. paying him that person to do. Like, that's a whole other very important, very serious conversation that we should have, which has nothing to do with Antonio Brown. Like, Antonio Brown's behavior and decisions to torment witnesses or to assault women is a total, like, don't try to deflect it.
He's the type, like, of guy.
If you were an activist for women your entire career, if you'd spent 15 years being an activist for women, you can talk about these other things and you can point to some of these other things and say, hey, these are problems that need to get solved. But not while you're facing your own allegations. Like,
exactly.
You can't do that. It's just stupid.
He's that guy that, and I don't know if you guys know a guy like this, but he's that guy that if you do something wrong, say, like, if you, I don't know, break into a car, and I don't know anyone
that's done that.
Yeah, I'm not saying,
like,
I'm not advocating to say break into cars or whatever.
I'd like to be on
but
the record.
If you're that guy that breaks in a car, or let's just say breaks a window, and the cops come and all y'all hide, and everybody has great hiding spaces or places except you, and you get caught, then you say, hey, everybody, we got caught. Come on out. No, you got caught. We didn't.
What if I didn't break the window, though?
But we're all a part of it.
I can't be
but
a snitch.
He's that guy that wants to, once it's on him, he wants to point out everybody else.
It's...
He wants to try to deflect it. Hey, Johnny's over there in the trash can. Look at him. He's over there. Hey, Bob, come out from behind the bushes. He caught me, so he caught you too. No, it ain't about them. It's about you. You got caught.
Well, but even in your analogy, that would mean that Robert Kraft, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Shannon Sharpe are all doing the same thing at the same time.
But
it's decades apart.
I understand. Understand it's decades apart, but it goes back to because the spotlight's on you now. You want to tell everybody else to come out, or you want to deflect everything back to everybody else to try to get it off of you.
Our buddy Andrew Brandt from the Monday Morning Quarterback, friend of the show, who we have on from time to time, tweeted, "It's just amazing Antonio Brown couldn't stay quiet at least until his $5 million bonus installment was due on Monday. In the last 2 weeks, he has forfeited almost $40 million in guarantees." Boys, we're watching the self-destruction of what could have been a Hall of Fame career, and a guy just basically, you know what, away $40 million.
And you know what some of it is. Again, a lot of it's his decision-making around the alleged sexual assaults and stuff. Like, that's just awful stuff that needs to be figured out through the civil courts and through proper channels. But let's just take his behavior on social media. This is a guy who's clearly addicted to social media.
Mm-hmm.
He is addicted to the endorphin that is released in your brain when you get likes. And it's not just a professional athlete thing. We all have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Twitter, and my wife loves Instagram, and Nick, you can't stay off Twitter. Like, we're all, you know, Derek, you're an Instagram mm-hmm. guy. Like, we all are addicted to social media in some way, shape, or form. And Antonio Brown clearly does not have the ability to just shut up on social media.
But we don't
allow
it
to put it out there.
We don't allow it to dictate
no.
or allow it to affect our lives in a bad way.
And none of us, like, again, none of us are Antonio.
And we're not Antonio Brown,
right?
Either,
like,
so.
And again, if you get to a certain level of power, star power in this mm-hmm. country, I would just start deleting social media accounts. Like, Vince Gill, I don't know if I'm breaking news here. Vince Gill doesn't even, like, text message. He doesn't know how to work his social media. Like, he has a team that runs his social media accounts. You know, because you want to promote albums and performances and, you know, hey, I'm going to be at this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be on this TV channel. We're going to be at this live show. You have to do it. You have to do PR if you're a public figure like a Vince Gill or Antonio Brown. but Vince Gill is hands off. He doesn't want to do any of it. It's not his thing. Like Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, no social media. Like you, once you get to a certain level, if you're the best receiver on the planet, what do you have to gain from posting Instagram stories and just random tweets? Like what? I don't think you have anything. Once you reach a certain level of stardom, there's no point in having Twitter.
Unless you're like Tom Brady, who uses it just to post ridiculously funny videos are self-deprecating.
But at what point of his career?
Oh, once
after six. I mean, he's 42 years old when he got mm-hmm. Twitter, right? Like he could have had Twitter 10 years ago, and he never did because he didn't need it. He built and then really probably the only reason he did it is because he knows he's retiring soon and he wants to build the TB12 brand, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's trying to do that. But again, even then, Tom Brady doesn't need Twitter. There's literally nothing Tom Brady needs. he's done it between the lines.
This kid is just, we're watching the self-destruction. He has nobody that, or he probably do, and he doesn't care. He you get out of my circle if you're telling me, you know, things that are correct. But, you know, if you are not telling him the things that, you know, he don't want to hear, then, you know, you're part of the problem.
Dude, when Dez Bryant is giving you advice on social media, you know you're a train wreck.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
it. I don't need any more information.
Yeah. This is what Drew Rosenhaus needs to earn every cent. If he talks about caring about his client, then it's not about the money, even though I know it is about the money, because you're watching a guy, you know, single-handedly ruin his career. I mean, post-career, too, in regards to football.
Right.
Now, I'm sure he has enough money. He will be fine.
Oh, he's got. But he still can't resist posting a photo exactly. Sitting on the rolls after getting off my private jet.
Exactly.
So, dude, you got money, man. What do you need social media for?
He's the guy that, you know, frankly, I don't know, man. He's just. Can I say this? He's an idiot.
Yeah. It's almost like he's destined to fail.
He's an idiot.
Like you see some people that they can't get out of their own way. He legitimately it looks like he's trying to self-sabotage his own personal existence.
He would have walked. I mean, he still might. I don't know if he's going to walk into the Hall of Fame now, but.
No, he's not getting in, period.
But let's take the writer part of it out of it. Just say, like, as a player on the field, this guy would have walked into the Hall of Fame had he played two or three more seasons at the same level. I mean, this is, you know, among the two or three best receivers on the planet during his time. How many players have six 100 catch seasons?
I mean,
in the history of the league,
his peak numbers are Jerry Rice-esque.
He's the only guy with 600 catch seasons, I believe, in the history of the league.
You know what's so funny about this whole thing is on April 7th, 2019, he tweeted, "Keep your emotions off the internet." That's what he tweeted.
Oh, the irony.
And now all of a sudden, all of his emotions have been on Twitter.
Like, if he just doesn't send a photo out of the fine letter from the Oakland Raiders, he still might be a Raider writer.
No, if he doesn't send a mass text. Sort of intimidating the witness.
Well, just any. That's a different story.
And then, like I told you, what did that tweet mean when he says the system is working? When the guy, New England guys threatened the SI girl because she the one that got Antonio Brown eventually kicked off the team. And then he sends the system is working. And I tweeted at him like, dude, what do you mean by that? Because that too can mean.
Do you think it was racial?
Does he even know
suppression?
Does he even know what it means?
No. It was to the SI writer that wrote the piece on that. What's his name? The SI writer that pretty much. And then he quote tweeted. There's an article that was out that basically he was getting death threats because of that article that he wrote. And then all of a sudden he quote tweeted and said the system is working.
Exactly. What does that mean?
So the writer is getting death threats from Patriots fans because he wrote the article.
Yes.
Right. And so Antonio Brown thinks the system is working because a writer is getting death threats.
And that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, dude,
what does that even mean?
What are you talking about?
Just put. Herm Edwards. Where's Herm Edwards? Don't press send. Where is Herm Edwards when Antonio Brown needs him? Just don't press send.
Sounded like a little.
It's a little redneck then.
Yeah. Herm Edwards after like a month in Arkansas?
Herm's got a little country to him.
Yeah. No?
Don't press send.
All right, we will come back, wrap up the first half of the show. There's been a lot of negatives lately, right? The Titans, the Vols, Vandy. But there might just be a silver lining, and it's not on the turf. It's on the ice. We're back after this.
Ekholm for Wilkins. Tried to go across through the box. He did. Got it to Tolvanen. Power play is over for Nashville. And they come to Tolvanen, who scores! On the continuation, Predators tie it back up at two. Volkov comes over. Puck slipped away from him. Here is Ekholm for Pitlick. Pitlick ran into Witkowski. And now Pitlick scores! Rim Pitlick comes up with a loose puck after colliding with Witkowski. And the Predators win it at 1:39 of the overtime period.
Ah, yes, Pete Weber, the call here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Morning Drive. A lot of negative the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. Titans, Vols. Let's wrap up the first half of the show with just a little speck of positivity.
So Derek, you just heard the overtime winner there, right?
Uh-huh.
And let me make sure, let me double check. What days, again, are we allowed to overreact, Coach Pruitt?
On Mondays and Thursdays. And then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Okay, today's a Monday. We can overreact. Does the win in overtime, does that mean we're going to the Stanley?
Stanley, baby. Okay. I told y'all this before.
All right, I just want to make sure.
The Stanley. You know, they at one point in time, they scored over 7-8 goals in two games.
Stanley, don't look now, baby. Though.
So they're going to average about 4 goals a game this year?
Yeah. Would that be the most ever by an NHL team? 4 goals a game, 5 goals a game?
Check. That'd be pretty legit.
We'll get you that answer by tomorrow.
Hey, man, they're going.
But there was definitely some positives from the weekend, because you had the home-and-home against Tampa Bay, and not one, but multiple power play goals over the weekend.
See, there we go. Overreact. We're allowed to overreact.
Because the first two games of the doubleheader last week,
they were like 0-10.
They were 0-10. Now, this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, home-and-home.
So they've been solved.
Absolutely.
Problems are fixed.
Temporarily.
It's been fixed.
In the 4-5 game, they had 5 power play opportunities, and they scored twice.
There you go. Now, here's the other thing. Some good stuff from Ellie Tolvanen and Rem Pitlick, although the announcement yesterday, they will start the season, I believe, down in Milwaukee with the Admirals despite strong camps, which I got to believe just speaks to the overall depth of this team.
Yeah, to me, for a moment of seriousness here, I think it's a really good positive sign for the Predators that they are able to take talents like Rem Pitlick, Ellie Tolvanen, and Jeremy Davies, for that matter, as well, and just automatically send them to the AHL. Now, they have waivers left on their contract, so that's part of the reason that they can be sent down without having to clear waivers. If you put Daniel Carr, of course, who was the AHL MVP last year, who's got a chance to make this roster, if you try to send him down, he's got to clear waivers. So that's part of the process. It does feel like there's just, again, I said this last week, I just don't see a lot of open spots on the starting roster. Like, if you look at the starting 6 defensemen, you're probably going at it without Matt Irwin in the top 6. So if Matt Irwin is already not in your top 6, how many spots are really available for someone to make the team? If it's Dan Hamhuis and Yannick Weber in the final pairing, you know, with Matt Irwin as the third guy, there's no space for Alexander Carrier to make the team. He's going to have to work really hard and prove that he's far better than some dependable veterans. Like, who's going to get knocked out of the lineup in the forward group? Certainly not a center. You got too many centers already. I mean, who's like, it's really nice that you've got a problem. Like, Freddie Goudreau might get cut, and they'll probably put him through waivers to go back down to the AHL, and somebody might pick him up. But Freddie Goudreau might not have a starting spot on this roster, or even a backup spot on this roster. So the farm system is far better than it was at this time last year, and the depth on this roster is as good as it's ever been, which is the same thing we've said about this team the last couple of years. Everything is there for them to be very good again this year. Predators fans should feel just as optimistic about this season as they have any of the last couple.
But in regards to Pitlick and Tolvanen, doesn't it also put some pressure on the guys that do currently have a roster spot on the Predators that if they don't perform, there are younger guys chomping at the bit to take their opportunity?
Yes, it's different for the different players, right? Like, Jeremy Davies is a prospect who looks like he's got a ton of upside, great skater. He fits the mold of Predators defenseman, but he's probably a top 4 guy. If he's going to be as good as we think he's going to be, he's probably a top 4 guy. So I don't know if there's space for him. Just like with Ellie Tolvanen. Ellie Tolvanen probably does not get brought up to play on the 3rd or 4th line. He's a top 6 forward. You know, you'd almost have to have space for him, which puts pressure on Kyle Turris. You know, but if Kyle Turris plays well, that means either you're winning hockey games or you're looking to trade him, which then maybe opens up a spot for Elli Tolvanen. But you better hope that Elli Tolvanen is good enough to handle top six forward minutes if you're going to bring him up. So, you know, Rempe looks a little different. He could play on the third or fourth line. And I would imagine that even just through the normal course of injuries...
Hey, let's go.
I think that was Rem Pitlick. He was actually Rem calling Pitlick into the calling. Show.
3, 2, 1. I would imagine that I would imagine that in the course of a regular 82-game season, you're going to need these guys to play meaningful minutes, right? Like, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have a defenseman go down. You're going to have a winger go down. You're going to have something happen. Pekka got hurt a couple games last year. You're going to need to call people up. That's just a normal thing that happens in hockey. They have great options now in the AHL to bring up. They've got good backups that are sitting on their act that are going to be on their active roster. And there may be a couple of guys that get put through waivers that get claimed that are pretty good players. It's just it's a testament to how quickly David Poile has rebuilt the system. There's not really a weakness on this team, again, if the things that get fixed are supposed to be fixed. The power play in particular, I just think Kyle Turris, like, to me, so much of this is Kyle Turris and Mikael Granlund. If you're Granlund, I think is going to be better, but he's on the last year of his deal, and so is Craig Smith, which makes both of them movable commodities.
Mm-hmm.
If Elli Tolvanen is so good that he has to play on the top six line, you can find him a spot, but it's going to take a move, in which case you then can make your team better. So it's all good problems to have if you're the Predators.
Yeah, good problems to have indeed, but I'm going to be selfish for just a moment because I hate the fact that because I think Pitlick's earned a shot right on this roster from opening night. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get it. He'll be in Milwaukee. But selfishly, I want to live in a world where I get to hear this name on a nightly basis.
Rem Pitlick!
I want to be able to say Rem Pitlick every morning on the radio.
You can. Rem Pitlick!
Yes, thank
you,
Pete.
How about this then? Just for you, we have a Rem Pitlick AHL update. Marquise, can you become the senior Rem Pitlick correspondent and just report on what he does every night for the Admirals? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do
there
that.
There you go. And then we can play Rem Pitlick's name all day long.
Mm-hmm. Rem Pitlick!
There you go. Is Rocco Grimaldi not good enough for you, Nick?
No, he is. He definitely is. He was the only guy that showed up last May in Dallas.
Also a great name.
There you go. All right, so that's the positive. We will get back to the negative. The Tennessee Volunteers scored a whopping 3 points Saturday in the Swamp. What do we make of another blowout in the Jeremy Pruitt era? We're back after this on Morning Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.